And not only marrying the director, but we who have been with him learned another man. Because despite the fact he could bail us out when we needed it, he never bailed us out unless we did need it. I'll tell you that. But he could just as human with your problems, and any of us have been sick or real away, we know then just how human he could really be. If you're well, you worked and took it. But if you were sick, he took it for you. And then, like Mr. Lording, I'm particularly pleased to see Mrs. Marx and Mrs. Hayman here this evening. Because no man really can work and do the job that Mr. Marx has done without the support and loyalty from those at home. And what is more, he has set each and every one of us an example in home life, which is something to be proud of. And that is an example for each and every young fellow today. And now, just going back a little bit, we know that Mr. Marx started this business with a little sample case and half a dozen samples. When I see our boys packing up their cars today with great big ports of samples, I wonder what the hell they're doing. If they can build this out of six samples, well, there's something wrong with us. Mr. Marx, I do, on behalf of everyone here, wish you all sorts of good luck, you, Mrs. Marx, your daughter Jane. I have very much honor indeed, on behalf of each and every one of you, in supporting the toast.
Thank you, Mr. Schilling, for so ably supporting the toast. And now, on behalf of the staffs of the interstate branches, head office, mill offices, and all employees, we do wish you, Mr. Marx, very happy days in your retirement. A very happy and pleasant duty to perform, that of making a presentation to our managing director. Mr. Marx, we do not want you to leave us without some tangible expression of our affection and high esteem in which you are held amongst us all. I trust this gift of a dinner service, which I am about to present to you, will find a place in your home, and that the joy of possession will be, or can be shared, by your good lady, Mrs. Marx. And will ever serve to remind you, sir, of your term of office and all your associations at Julius Caesar. And it is presented to you with every good wish, and that you will be long spared to enjoy your days of retirement, and may health and happiness be yours in full measure always. Mr. Marx, on behalf of all the staff, I have very great pleasure in asking you to accept this gift.
Thank you very much, Dean.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I will ask you to charge your glasses and drink to the health of our retiring managing director. Everybody here of the Kayser family, a phrase one or two of you have used tonight, and a phrase that you all know I've endeavored to use and to live up to over very many years past, and our guests from outside the organization. Firstly, I want to say that having seen that photograph of myself in the paper tonight, I just wonder why that last song was sung at all. Well, now, 41 years you've heard said tonight on several occasions, and that is selling, manufacturing, distributing, and trading in Kayser products in this Commonwealth of Australia. And I thought you might be interested tonight, being my swan song, my last real official appearance among you all, if I did give a short resume of the history of the how I first became connected with the Kayser Company, of which little snatches have been given by a friend from Sydney and my friend on my right and so on. And not only will this give me an opportunity of telling you authentically, so to speak, how the actual Kayser products were first brought to Australia, but it will give me also an opportunity to do a small, short spot of reminiscing. As one gets on in years somewhat, one is inclined to enjoy a spot of reminiscing. And I think possibly tonight is a perfect occasion for such indulgence.
More of it.
Well, actually, there was a man by the name of Max Hahn, a little over 40 years ago, came out to Australia from the United States. He was a very large corset manufacturer over there, and he came out to put his line of corsets on the Australian market. In those days, there were very little actual manufacturing in this country. And my brother became rather friendly with him. And one day he said to my brother, "Oh, I'm terribly busy with this corset thing," but he said, "I've got in my bag a number of samples of stockings and gloves and underwear and things from a firm called Kayser." He said, "I don't know anything about it. I've got no time to be bothered with it. If you like, you can handle it." So my brother came to me and he mentioned this. He said, "Would you like?" He said, "I think there might be something in this. Would you like to come with me?" And he said, "If you think anything of it, I'll slip over, hop on the boat and go over there and see what it's really all about and see what arrangements I can make." So I said yes, and off he went. He went over in the first trip of the
of the Niagara, the famous vessel that subsequently sunk in the last, in the first trip, yes, and she ran for about 30 years and was sunk, as you probably remember, with a lot of gold on board in the early part of this war. And he came back with the arrangements made, and off we started selling Kayser products on this Australian market. That was the actual real origin, that was the actual origin of the start of Kayser in Australia. And then, as you've heard, he went abroad and was killed in Gallipoli. Well, now, the this fact of my brother's death leads me, at this stage of my response to Mr. Lording and Mr. Schilling, leads me to refer to some of those who have taken a very active part in the building of this business during the 40-odd years, and who have since passed into the great beyond. The first one that comes to my mind is my first private secretary by the name of Olive Knox. Some of you here, not many I know, will remember her quite well. Then Jewel Solwick, who was the my partner and with whom I formed the firm of Marks and Solwick after which followed on the firm of L&E Marks, which was the original firm which I just told you about. Now, Jules Solwick played a tremendous part in the building of this business, and he was a man of great agility of mind, a remarkably clever merchandiser, and a brilliant personality, and very well liked, as some of you here that worked with him for years will know and can attest. Then there was Thua Green. Now, Thua Green was sent out by the American company in 1930, when the factory was first put down here, to be the first manager to erect the first machine down where we are in Richmond now, in that first building where the first lot of 42-gauge leggers, which have now all disappeared, were installed. Now, he started that job, and he worked there for a couple of years, and he was on his first return short trip to America when, unfortunately, he was taken ill on the ship and suddenly died. Then there was another name that comes to my mind, is Horry Grubb. Yeah. A man who many of you remember, who was our sales manager in Melbourne, a most charming, likeful personality, who contributed a great deal to the building of the company. Then the next name that comes, Vic Martin, a very likable chap who was for years and years with us, who did the country districts and then originally started down at Tasmania House and did the country districts. A very likable man, and just an incident I so well remember when my wife and I went abroad in 37. You were good enough, a number of you, to give us a little presentation in the office there. And I remember Vic Martin writing some rhymes and doggerel about me. That some of you remember it, and reciting it there. I remember that very well. Then Charlie Kirkham. I don't know how many here will remember. There'll be some of you will remember him. He was a great personality, and very well known and very well liked.